on? Got me? Okay, good. Throw my PowerPoint up there, it'd be awesome. Bling. The first thing we're going to start with today, so maybe for those of you that are visiting us, we are an elder-led church. There are three elders here, myself, Chuck, who was just here, and Dwayne, who's actually, I think he's taking one of his sons to a college visit this weekend, so he's actually stepped out for the weekend. But we alternate our weeks and have our teaching time from one of the three elders, and today it's me. So hi, I'm Andy, and I will be sharing with us today. We have been going verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and we're at Colossians 3:14 next, somewhere in that area, 13 or 14 that Dwayne's going to begin with us on. And so, but today, since we have been spending the week with Psalm 23, I thought let's just contextually spend today looking at our shepherd. So I'm going to do that with us today, and I have to turn my notes around so I can see. So Colossians 3:11 begins, or excuse me, the verse of Colossians 3:11 ends with this phrase, that Jesus is all and in all. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is all things and has many roles and impacts in our lives. Jesus is both the Lamb of God as well as the Good Shepherd. He can be both. He is all. He is in all and is all. So he can be both the Lamb of God, and he's also the true Good Shepherd. So today we're going to spend a little bit of time, we'll touch a little bit on the Lamb of God, but we're mostly going to talk about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We have been going through, you've heard the verses all around here. You heard the kids do hand motions. The kids sing the thing. Let's join together. Let's all stand together. This is your turn. You can do hand motions if you'd like. But let's all just read this. Let's just all read Psalm 23. Let's all read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Be seated. Thank you. Psalm 23 begins, the Lord is my shepherd. And everything that comes after that follows the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. Why do we need a shepherd? Because, okay, why do we need a shepherd? Okay, we're dismissed. Did you hear what he said? He said, without a shepherd, the sheep will get eaten and we all will sin. Okay, go to lunch. We're good. Right? But that's it. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Because without a shepherd, you're going to get eaten. And you're going to sin. And you're going to stumble. You're going to get lost. We need a shepherd. So as we look at this, why does the Lord call his people, therefore, sheep? You know, when you sit up here teaching, sometimes like also there's a parent-child relationship, and you say, I'm going to teach you about, you know, hey, in God's eyes, you're children, so I end up calling you children, right? Well, that's okay. But today I'm going to call you sheep. Are you ready to be called a sheep? You are a sheep. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time today. I'm going to say we need a shepherd. So first, I want us to look at sheep. We're going to actually look at the animal and some characters and some traits of that animal. And then I'm going to correlate what that animal is, does, and acts with how God, when he looks at us, he says, you're a sheep. And I need to be your shepherd. So then after that, we're going to take a quick peek. So most of it's the sheep. We're going to spend a little quick time on the shepherd himself. And then we'll talk a bit about this thing called the flock. So let's begin with the sheep. Scripture calls us sheep in need of a shepherd in many places. In Isaiah 53, we'll get to that. But it says, you should know this, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. And he has placed the iniquities of us on him. So he calls you all. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. In this psalm we've been dealing with, the fact that he says, the Lord is my shepherd, implies, what does a shepherd shepherd? Sheep. And then finally, in John 10, which is probably the biggest New Testament chapter talking about this relationship of shepherd to sheep, Jesus himself says, I am the door for the sheep. I am the gate for my sheep. And he also said, I am the good shepherd, and uses my. I'm the good shepherd for my sheep. So if I establish the fact that you're sheep, in God's eye, everybody say bah, bah, right? In God's eye, you're sheep. All right, so let's just spend a little bit. I looked it up, so I grew up around farms, in a farm. I'm fairly familiar with cattle. I've been around horses enough, but I know absolutely nothing about sheep. I've never really farmed one, saw one, so I had to do research. So I did some research because everyone has these ideas they think about sheep, you know, it's this dumb animal, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I went and looked. So you can always trust the internet. Well, after I hit about the ninth information block, and they all started repeating the same information, I thought, this must be true about sheep. So what I want to do is talk a bit about, how many people actually have raised sheep? Dave and Wendy, I know, have them. So Dave can nod his head or say, what as I go through this? But sheep need guidance. Is that an appropriate thing to say? All right. Hey, sheep, you need guidance. So let's look at sheep. I have eight. I chose 8 points about sheep that is really going to throw rocks at you when I talk about these sheep. And why am I throwing rocks at you? Because, what's the title? Let's all say it. We need a shepherd. In the predator-prey spectrum, in the food chain, sheep are pegged at the end of prey, right? And why are they? Because the American bison is the prey animal, but a wolf will never tangle with an adult American bison, right? The bison would tear up the wolf. But sheep, not so much. Sheep are all the way at the end of this helpless, if something wants to eat it, it's going to eat it. Because it really is the end of the prey. And so there's always, sheep exist and live in a state of something wants to eat me. Christian, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, sheep. You need a shepherd. Because there's something out there lurking, searching for something to devour. He wants to devour a sheep. Second thing about sheep, as I said, they really aren't equipped with defenses. They're relatively weak. They will run, kind of slow. They're awkward, they're stupid. They run, but they're like, that's not very graceful, right? They will flee, they will run. They're skittish. They have flight instincts. And even when they run, they tend to run erratically and in circles. If a smart wolf would yell at the sheep, they'll take off and he'll just sit here and wait. Here they are. They come right back because they're going to run in circles. They run aimlessly. They're going to run around skittishly. And then even when they run, they're going to run in a panic, and they might run into trouble, off a cliff, something, right? They're going to run. Have they ever ran, like, into your fence and got caught in the fence? Repeatedly. Yeah. So, hey, Christian, we think we know. There's a way that seems right to a man. But the end of that way is what? Death. We need a shepherd. Left to our own, we're going to be skittish. We're going to run, not very gracefully. We're going to run in circles. We're going to run around. And we think we're doing the right thing. But the end of this way is death. Sheep have a herd mentality, right? They like to be in flocks. Sheep and we are flock animals. Sheep want to be in a flock or a herd. And when one sheep starts to move somewhere, guess what happens? They all follow because they're flock animals. And so if there's a sheep moving off to the side, that's where the herd's going, or the flock's going, right? The others tend to follow. And then actually, if a sheep gets isolated away from it, if they're out there grazing, and suddenly they look up, and they're not with the flock, they freak out. Do they freak out? They freak out, right? They become emotional. They become even mentally impaired, right, to the point they become frustrated, stressed, develop depression, and they get disoriented, even to the point that that emotional stress on a sheep will actually manifest itself in physical ailments for that stupid thing. Excuse me, I won't say stupid. For that thing, right? So they're flock animals. They want to be in the flock, but when they get isolated, like, they freak out. But then there's also this herd, this flock. When there is times of stress and danger and things are happening to the sheep, you know what the sheep, they gather together and they curl up and they get in this tight flock. And you know what the sheep do? They try to get to the center of the flock. Why? Because I want Fred to be on the outside where the trouble is. They become completely self-centered. I got to get to the middle of this flock because I don't want to be on the edge. That's where bad stuff happens. And I'm going to kick Fred over there so he can get the wolf can get him instead of me. Hey, sheep, do you act that way? Because it's, and even one of the things that about sheep is that even though they want to be a flock animal, they have this personal bubble space they want, which is kind of counterproductive to flocking. But they're like, I need my own space because if something comes, I want to be able to dart left or right. So don't get too close to me because you're going to impede my run to the left or run to the right, which is kind of counterproductive to the whole flock thing. So they're a mess. They think they're wise. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools, what? Suffers harm. If you walk with the flock, whoever's going off to the side and you go with him, you'll suffer harm. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Who you hang out with, what is your flock, how's your flock behave, and who's shepherding your flock matters. Because why? We need a shepherd. Sheep are head down feeders. Goats are head up feeders, right? Goats, they keep their head up. They eat stuff high. Sheep, head down feeders. And as they're feeding, they don't really pay attention where they are. So that actually can cause them to wander away. They may not be paying attention. They graze in large areas. Curiosity, boredom, whatever drives sheep to investigate something. Ooh, well, what's this? I'll go eat that. You know, next thing they know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. And because of that, and the Lord has laid on him, capitalize, the iniquity of us all. Sheep, you'll wander off. You're not paying attention to what's going on, and you're going to end up isolated from the flock. You're going to take the flock somewhere it shouldn't go. If you act on your own as a sheep. We need a shepherd. Did you click on for me? Thank you. The sheep. Injury, illness, something goes wrong with the sheep, especially in the wild. Any animal that gets injured has something go wrong with it. It can pretty much be a death sentence, right? Injuries and sickness that is not taken care of is very prone to at least make them miserable, if not kill them. You need a shepherd. But there is one curious thing about sheep. Did you know that most sheep are immune to pit viper venom? There's this thing in their blood. I wrote it down. Hold on. Let me see if I can do it. It's known as ovine heterophilic immunoglobulin. Ovine heterophilic immunoglobulin is in the blood of sheep. It's fairly unique to sheep. It's in their blood. And it basically neutralizes the activity and the potency of venom. Did you know that human anti-venom is made from sheep blood? Because of that very compound that causes the pit viper venom, rattlesnakes, whatever, to not have an effect on them. Remember how I opened that Jesus is the Lamb of God? And his blood, John the Baptizer saw Jesus come in and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The blood that was shed completely neutralized the venom of the serpent. We need a shepherd. I use a picture for this next one. If you look at the eyes of a sheep, this is a lot of the grazing animals, but sheep are very unique on this. Look at their eyes. Their pupils are rectangular, and they're horizontal. And a sheep's eyes, we have our eyes in the front of our head. Sheep eyes are kind of to the side. And they have that horizontal rectangular slit. You know their peripheral vision is 320 degrees. They can see from here to here without moving their head because they have this great, fantastic peripheral vision. Eyes on the side of their head and rectangular pupils provide great peripheral vision. Unfortunately, this amazing peripheral vision comes with a cost. As a result, they struggle to see what's directly in front of their noses. All of their eyesight is for seeing the side, for watching for predators, seeing what's going on around me. And to see directly in front of their noses, it's very hard for them. And they have to get up close to stuff to see what it is. Another problem with this amazing eyesight that they have is that it does have some depth perception. We're binocular people, right? Both our eyes together help us see how close something is. Other than, and I will say goats and mountain sheep have an adaptation, but this kind of sheep that you are, depth perception is hard. They really struggle with depth perception. Basically, the lack of depth perception solidifies why sheep require good guidance. Unlike the mountain sheep, this inability to gauge depth makes sheep in mountains and highland areas at a greater risk of falling off a cliff. They don't walk straight, but walk in a winding path because they see something on this eye, and they go over and look at it, and then they see something in this eye, and they go over here, and that also leads them to wandering. Christian, sheep, you need to see what's directly in front of your eyeballs. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen, brother. And I've said this before, but remember, why do they have both? The lamp to your feet is right down here. My very next step. What am I doing right now? My very next step is a lamp to my feet. And the light to my path, where are you taking me, Lord? What's my path? So his word is your very next step and what his call in your life is. Where is he guiding you? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Don't be a sheep worried about everything to the side, everything wandering around aimlessly and meandering on an uneven path. His word is for your next step and for where he's taking you. The sheep, we need a shepherd. Sheep vocalize in several different ways. Have you heard your sheep make all kinds of different baas and bleats and different sounds? Yeah. They talk to one another. And sheep have an intelligence to understand what that sheep means. And when a sheep is upset or emotional, it'll baa and bleat a certain way, and then it's contagious. And the other one starts baa bleating. And everybody starts moping. And the whole flock is bleh, bleh. Right? One bad baa, is that one bad baa starts to affect the whole flock. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you should be doing, as you are doing. What your voice is, the sheep vocalizations to one another affects them. Hey, sheep, the way you talk to one another affects them. And you can affect the entire flock. I think Madeline talked about the take your grumbling, turn it to gratefulness. Don't be that kind of sheep. Finally, the eighth point that I have for you today. Are sheep smart or dumb? Are sheep smart or dumb? They're actually very intelligent animals. They are. A sheep has exceptional memory and spatial recognition. They can remember faces of their flock mates and the humans that took care of them for up to 10 years. You can separate a sheep from a flock and bring them back to the flock they have, and they'll go straight to the ones that they used to hang out with. They can see faces. They memorize faces. They know voices. When they listen to, you've heard this, right? You get a whole bunch of sheep together, and one shepherd will come out and say, I did that for my children. Because we all have our little thing. I had 8 kids, and so when they're all mingling around at, you know, McDonald's playset or whatever, I had my little call, and I would go, and Madeline just, she can't help it. She's like, what? She looked. So did Abby. They're like, and even in my, Gabe was like, I was out doing that. You did that, Dad, and I looked. And I was like, how's he make me still do that? I'm a grown man, and I still turn when I hear that sound. I'm working on my grandchildren. I got to get my grandchildren to know that sound. But again, the voice, the sheep know the voice. The shepherd can go out there and whatever they're called, whatever their sookie call is, you know, come on, his sheep would come. They're intelligent animals. They have some smarts. It's not that sheep are not intelligent. It's that they're foolish. They scare at the slightest thing. That great peripheral vision. I mean, you're not supposed to even leave strange things out on the fence because they'll see it. Whoa, what's that, right? They're foolish. They're unwise. They don't use the wisdom they have well. They are foolish. That's different from dumb. Dumb is I don't know any. I don't have the ability to learn. Dumb means I haven't learned things, right? It's not intelligence. Whereas foolishness is I'm unwise. I'm not letting wisdom take place. And sheep are foolish. You're foolish. This is why in Colossians, we've been going through and we've been studying, hey, as the Lord sanctifies us and as the Lord is taking us from our moment of redemption all through sanctification, he over and over and over again says, you need to know the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. He is your shepherd. We need a shepherd. And what do we need from that shepherd? We need to know the wisdom and knowledge that he gives to us. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That is where we need to go, Christian. We need a shepherd. So the sheep need a shepherd. Who is the shepherd? The sheep need a shepherd. The shepherd really has quite a job. Because the shepherd knows the sheep and these issues we just brought up. A shepherd knows the characteristics of a sheep. And your good shepherd knows your characteristics. He knows you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. When we go to pray to him and say, "Hey, God, in case you hadn't noticed, I need this and that and that." He knows. He knows before you ask. But he still tells you, "Ask me." He still says, "Pray to me." So the shepherd knows. To say that sheep are helpless without a shepherd is really not much of a stretch. The life of a sheep without a shepherd or isolated from the flock is miserable and actually doomed. The shepherd has some primary concerns for the sheep: to keep the sheep from harm, to soothe them, to encourage them. He's their guardian. He's helped protect the flock. He puts himself in the way in between the predator and the prey. He takes care of what he does. The great lamb says, "I am the good shepherd." And what did he say? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, for his sheep. He will lay down his life for that. He's the guide. He's the caretaker when you need help, whether that be physical help or my soul hurts. He is the caretaker. One of the key things of he will deal with your health, your well-being, your calm, settled hearts. And the other thing of an actual shepherd, a shepherd has husbandry, right? Which is time to lamb, to you, to reproduce. Shepherd's involved in that too. You must be born again to even be in his flock. And the good shepherd says, "I am the one that you have faith in to even be born again." He has compassion and knowledge. He gives individual. He fosters help. He actually has a relationship. Shepherds develop a close bond with their flock. They have a relationship based on trust and familiarity. They spend time with the sheep. They get to know the individual characteristics and needs. This relationship allows the shepherd to better care for and understand his flock. He said, "My sheep know my voice." He teaches and he trains. God says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to remembrance everything that I said." We need a shepherd. Because I think, I was going to just do a bunch of information about what a shepherd is, but you know, I thought, you know what? I'll just let Jesus talk to you first. I'm going to read you the first 16 verses out of John 10. You can follow along if you like, or just listen to what Jesus said. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." On down in 7, Jesus said again, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He was talking to Jews. I must bring them, thus also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let's run down, to verse 27. That he continues, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. We need a shepherd. We have a shepherd. And you, if you are in Christ, you have this shepherd. Listen to his voice. Understand him. He will guide you. He will protect you. He is with you. He has such great plans for you. He is our shepherd. So the sheep need a shepherd. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about, sheep belong in a flock. The body of Christians, the bride of Christ, the flock is the group of believers, sheep, entrusted to the shepherd. We just heard, I just read, that Jesus said, my sheep will be with me. No one's ever going to take my sheep, because no one can take anything from the Father, because he's all. The universal flock that the good shepherd has is everyone in Christ through all time. That's a big flock. Even though the scripture says the road is narrow and small and few will follow, still a few. There's a lot of sheep that the good shepherd has. One of the things that was, as I was studying this, I was looking through and the story in Luke at the birth of Christ. And it says, and they're in that same country, shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. And the by night thing caught me, right? Because most of us work during the day. But shepherds are ever vigilant. Nighttime, daytime, whatever. And most likely they were out there at nighttime keeping watch over the flock by night because it was lambing time. It was time the lambs were being born. And as a good shepherd husbandry to their flock, they wanted to be there in case they needed to help out the birth of a lamb. There was a great lamb born that night when they were keeping watch over their flock by night, expecting the birth of any time there'll be a birth of a lamb, and the angel came before them and said, I have something to tell you. Savior, which is Christ the King, is born this day in the city of David. And they got up and said, let's go see this thing. And they saw this lamb who shed blood would neutralize the sting of the serpent. So in doing that, we are part of the flock of God. We are in, if you are in Christ, if you believe, we had the ABCDs at Bible school. If you A is admit, B is believe, C is confess, and then after that, D is daily walk, right? They gave them the ABCDs. If you're in Christ, you're in his flock. And then one thing that I need, there are other what we call sub-flocks, portions of the flock, right? To the elders of local fellowships, in 1 Peter it says, be shepherds of God's flock that is among you, watching over them, not out of compulsion, but because it is God's will. Not out of greed, but out of eagerness, not lording over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And then in Acts, it says, pay careful attention to yourselves, elders, and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. There's a a burden that sits here, sits there, and with Dwayne's usually sitting over there, I would put over to Dwayne. The Lord has put this little sub-flock together called the local church, and he is your shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The Holy Spirit is your trainer, and I'm in that flock, and I'm in thee, but he has also put these overseers, deacons around you. The shepherd-sheep relationship has all these levels. The good shepherd covers us all. But the local fellowship will have under-shepherds or elders to watch over the sheep. Then each of us have the portion of the flock that you watch over. Specifically, I want to address the fathers. Fathers of households, you have a flock that you're responsible for. You are to care, guide, lead, whatever. We all need shepherds. We need a shepherd. We need Christ the shepherd. We need our local fellowships that we can admonish and encourage one another. And your households need to be shepherded. Shepherded? It works. In Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You are to train, to teach, to take you this, that little portion of the flock that the Lord entrusted with you for the moment. And for all of us, that may be many places. It's we're to encourage one another. We're called throughout Scripture, love one another, encourage one another, love and good deeds. We are sheep. We are prone to wander. And you will look up and you will see your brother and your sister in Christ, and they're like, they're wandering over there. Remember, there was the Scripture in James, the wanderer, and the one that brought him back. We are called to be obedient sheep, but there is an aspect of your fellow sheep that the Lord calls you to encourage, to love, and to keep them on the path. Amen? We need a shepherd. We have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. He is our Savior, our Lord, our King, and our God. And if you don't know what that means, if you are yet to admit, believe, confess, and then daily walk, Chuck and I will be up here. We'd love to talk to you about that. What is a Savior? How do you get a Savior? How do I get this shepherd? I'm walking around. I'm getting beat up. I'm getting the pud beat out of me. I'm getting eaten by these wolves, metaphorically, right? The world is hard. There's those around seeking to devour you. Those Satan themselves, and then those that are under the influence of Satan seeking to devour you. You need a shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us. Jesus, I thank you that you said, I am the good shepherd, the true good shepherd. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you watch over us, that you care for us. And even now, Father, you are here that we might hear your voice in all that we do. We love you. I pray that everyone in this room knows your name, knows your voice. And Father, if this is the day of salvation for someone, if this is redemption day, Father, may it be so, and may your will be done in all among us. We pray for our households that we would honor you in all that we do, and we thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.